As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Almost 3 months on from Jurgen Klopp announcing his intention to stand down, Liverpool have earmarked the man they'd like to replace him.
Liverpool have opened negotiations with Feyenoord for Arne Slot.
So why do Liverpool want Feyenoord's Arne Slot? And is he the right personality to replace Klopp at Anfield? I'm Ayo Akinwolere. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. So with us today, we have The Athletic's football correspondent, David Ornstein, and reporter Adam Crafton, who spent time with Arne Slot last year in Feyenoord for an Access All Areas piece. David, let's start with you. So Liverpool have landed on Slot as the man they'd like to replace Jurgen Klopp. At the time of recording, David, what is the state of play and how has it developed over the last 48 hours?
Well, the state of play is that Liverpool are negotiating with Feyenoord to try and reach an agreement, strike a deal that would potentially see Arne Slot take over as manager, head coach from Jurgen Klopp in the summer. Liverpool were already in contact with Arne Slot himself, and it's our understanding that he's enthusiastic about the possibility of becoming Liverpool manager. But of course, a lot of talks need to take place, not least on compensation, because there is no release clause in his contract. And so Feyenoord can drive whatever bargain they want. I think if he would like to go, they're not going to kill that dream, but the terms do need to be right for them because they intend to keep hold of him. He's under contract until 2026. They showed last summer that they're no pushovers because they drove a hard bargain with Tottenham and ultimately he decided to stay. Similarly, Leeds United failed to get the better of them. And there have been interest from other clubs as well. It does appear to the outside that this is being conducted in a fairly cordial manner. Liverpool have tried to be as respectful as possible, given that Feyenoord played in the Dutch Cup final last Sunday and nothing had come out before then, despite the bookmakers' odds shifting over the weekend, particularly on Saturday ahead of that game. But it wasn't until Tuesday that reports started to emerge, and Liverpool intend to continue this discreet approach as the negotiations continue, try and keep it under the radar and show respect as the Dutch and the English seasons draw towards a close, with jobs to be done at both clubs. In terms of the background to this, Io, Arne Slot is a name that's been in contention for many positions, which is reflective of the job that he's done at Feyenoord, winning the Dutch title for the first time in 6 years. Previously with AZ Alkmaar, he pushed Ajax very close before the season was curtailed because of COVID, and the title of the Eredivisie was awarded to Ajax. He spoke to Chelsea, for example, last summer as well. And I'm sure as Liverpool were running their data and their analytics, given Arne Slot's credentials, his style of play, his achievements, the qualities, and the way that he ticks a lot of the boxes that Liverpool are looking for, that he would have formed part of their thinking. But as far as we know, it hasn't really gathered pace until pretty recently. Now, of course, they may have just been playing their cards close to their chest and trying to keep this one as far away from the public domain as possible. But I do think it is a more recent development. And as the process continues, There remain other names, we're assured, in the picture. And that would be typical of Michael Edwards, CEO of football for Fenway Sports Group. He takes the same approach for transfers, juggling various balls, spinning multiple plates in case you have to pivot to different scenarios. But he is the focus of their attention for the time being. He's the leading candidate. And as far as I know, things are progressing in the right direction. They're looking good, but it is not done yet.
Adam, I guess for me, having met the man, very simply, I mean, what's he like?
Yeah, so I mean, it was last summer now, and Feyenoord had just won the Dutch title, so it was probably as good as it was ever going to get at that point, to be honest, for Arne Slot, because at Feyenoord, because they're unlikely, you know, to go and win the Champions League just because the realities of the budgets of the Dutch league. The headline achievement for Slot is, you know, he's a guy in his mid-40s who, that isn't the highest achievement of his.
He made it to 40.
He's in his mid-40s, won the league with Feyenoord for the first time since 2017. Only the second time they'd actually, you know, for a club that's pretty big, it's only the second time they'd won it since 1999. They reached the final of the Europa Conference League, lost against Jose Mourinho's Roma. And then the following year, they also lost in the Europa League quarterfinal against Jose Mourinho's Roma. But just to put those achievements in context, Feyenoord hadn't been beyond the group stages of European competition since 2015. I think what Liverpool will have been taken by is a few things. First of all, it's the playing style. He makes no bones about the fact that he is inspired by Pep Guardiola.
I think there are not many coaches you can find from my age who were not inspired by his Barcelona side. So, but there are more coaches who inspire you than only him. But yeah, he's, for me, by a mile, the manager that influenced the game the most in the recent 15 to 20 years. So of course that inspires you, but there are more managers that have inspired. But I like it that you tell me that players love our style, because that is what fans wanted to bring. They didn't expect me to win a prize or didn't expect me to. They only wanted to add value to the team and play a certain style.
You will see those similarities of those fullbacks that move inside into central midfield. You will see the overloads that are created to create one-on-one situations for wingers. He loves wingers. He asked his recruitment team at Feyenoord to just keep buying him wingers. He said one of the reasons that wingers are often the most substituted players for his teams is because he tries to basically get them the ball in dynamic one-on-one situations as much as possible. So almost he would always use two or three within a game because he's asking so much of them. So I think if you're a player like Luis Diaz, for example, this could be a really exciting coach. I think the other aspect that Liverpool will like is Feyenoord have been run incredibly sustainably over the last couple of years. You know, we know that Liverpool's model under FSG is that they can't go and, well, everyone's model really now with financial players, you kind of have to live within your means. And that means developing talent, sometimes selling talent, reinvesting smartly, trusting recruitment departments. And he's been incredibly open to that at Feyenoord. You know, he's taken on a lot of young players. That season where they won the league, the 22-23 season, he had 15 new players at the start of that season and still won the league. So I think that aspect would appeal. And then I think culturally, he's pretty used now to a sporting director model, to scouting departments taking the lead on recruitment. Liverpool will like that. We've seen over the years, you know, particularly when Michael Edwards was there, you know, is it a coincidence that Michael Edwards is coming back just as Jurgen Klopp is leaving? Probably not, because Jurgen Klopp's power base over the years has grown and grown at Liverpool and had more of a say on recruitment, understandably, given his achievements. But I think Liverpool do want to go back to that model of a head coach having input, but then really trusting their recruitment and data analysis teams.
David, you know, do you think there's something here about what we've always spoken about in terms of sort of the dearth of candidates that probably are available to Liverpool to try and tick a lot of those boxes? But I guess even for him, I mean, he's tasted Champions League, but not intensely. And if European football is what Liverpool are thinking they want more of, is he the man to really take them into the latter stages of that competition?
There's going to be a gamble with anybody they go for. And there's no guarantee, I'm sorry for Liverpool fans to say, but they'll know it themselves, that the first person who replaces Klopp will succeed. Maybe not even the second and third, as clubs like Manchester United and Arsenal have found in replacing their legendary managers. Or perhaps he will. Certainly there's the ingredients for a successful reign. And I really like this potential appointment in theory. And when I've spoken to good contacts in the Netherlands, they pretty much universally speak very highly of him. A lot of the factors that Adam has outlined, the qualities that he has exhibited so far from a professional point of view, from a personal point of view. And when I think back over Liverpool's criteria, which you and I have spoken about on the podcast before, things like the style of play, high tempo, aggressive, defending with a high line, possession-based, exciting. Yep, that seems to be a good one. Tapping into engaging with the fan base through your personality and your style of play. Yeah, I can see that. A good record of keeping players fit and available. We'll have to wait and see on that. And I'd have to look into what he has done at Feyenoord. A track record of improving players. That definitely is a box that has been ticked. And, you know, in the wider sphere, working, as Adam says, on a very limited budget, look at some of the signings they have made for a pittance, really, comparatively and relatively speaking by football standards. And they've done exceptionally well. There have been some questions about, like, certain characteristics, ways in which he's come across, the personality. Yeah, he's a strong, commanding figure. And that will be an interesting dynamic because we've got Michael Edwards there, who has a lot of power and authority now in his CEO of football role at FSG and will exert huge influence over the team, over the squad, the club, the transfer market, the academy, the multi-club and so much more besides. And then you have Richard Hughes coming in from Bournemouth, the sporting director. And they will need to strike up a rapport with this manager. There are a lot of people suggesting maybe a younger figure, maybe someone that you can control in this new look set up. And is Arne Slot that? Maybe there were some reservations on that. But I'm quite optimistic about how that might work if it happens. And then the big factor that most people point out to me is coming from the Dutch league, maybe an expectation that you would go in with total respect to Brentford or a Brighton or a team in that region of the Premier League, maybe a newly promoted side. But to go in at Liverpool Football Club and to go in post-Klopp, firstly, it takes some courage to replace him. We've talked on here about who would do that. Roberto De Zerbi definitely would, but that's not a profile or a person that I've been led to believe that Liverpool are interested in pursuing. And others will not want to take on that mantle. So if Arne Slot does, then, you know, fair play to him. But this is a massive step up in his career. And it's not been a really long coaching career so far. And that's why, you know, perhaps the relative lack of Champions League football is something that can bring some concern. But where are you going to find the managers? Everybody needs their opportunity. And it's when some of these guys are given their opportunity that they do shine. There's natural anxiety around how it's gone for Erik ten Hag at Manchester United, having come from the Netherlands. And perhaps he had a better record than Arne Slot there. But there were so many mitigations for and against Erik ten Hag at Manchester United. One thing I know, or I think it's fair to assume, is that, you know, Michael Edwards had a brilliant record at Liverpool before his departure. The due diligence that he will have done alongside the director of research, Will Spearman, the likes of David Woodfine, who's coming back as assistant sporting director, having left previously as well. You've got top recruitment guys there like Barry Hunter and David Fallows and a number of others. They will be presumably turning over every stone and exhibiting why they have built up such a good reputation across the industry for so many years now. I've said repeatedly, they were not looking for the populist appointment. They were not seeking applause. They didn't want to just deliver what the public were saying and be seen to be doing the right thing. They want to do what they believe is the right thing, regardless of public reaction. They will be absolutely set in their ways once they decide upon their chosen candidate that is absolutely right for Liverpool for the short, medium and long term, whatever people say about it. And if it is going to be Arne Slot, I think they will do everything along with FSG as owners in the transfer market and so many big decisions that need to be made to create an environment for him to succeed. And they've got a great nucleus there, young players, some experienced ones too, that really Arsenal and Man United didn't have in their own transitions. And I would say there's a much better chance of things going right for Liverpool in the aftermath of Klopp than there was at Manchester United and Arsenal post-Ferguson and Wenger respectively.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
It's Tony Evans here, host of the Athletic's dedicated Liverpool podcast, Walk On. The Reds' title chances may well be over. Tonight, Jurgen Klopp a fairy tale farewell. But we're already looking to the future. With Arne Slot looking likely to be in the Reds' dugout next season, we assess the Anfield's excitement levels with Andy Jones, Simon Hughes and James Pearce.
Without hope, what do we have?
Just search for Walk On wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Well, I tell you what, let's get the insight about the character of Arne Slot and what he's achieved so far out in the Netherlands from AD's Sjoerd Mossu.
Arne did a brilliant job at Feyenoord. You have to realize that when he arrived in 2021, there was no money at all. The club is way behind PSV and Ajax in every kind of way. And Arne changed that within a few months. He had pretty average players, but played on the attack from the start. He played pressing football. He played attacking football. Arne was very popular from the beginning because he's a great communicator. So the fans loved him. And in his second year, again with a small budget, he did extremely well by winning the title, which was very impressive because, well, that they were by far the best team in the competition that year. In Holland, everybody's quite convinced that this is the best young coach in the Netherlands by far, in the way he plays football, the way he communicates with players, the way he communicates with the press. He's a modern coach. His vision is very clear. He's very much into details. He's a bit like a control freak. I know Arne for quite a while. I used to play against him when he was very young. We are from the same age. I think he was about 8 years old. So I know him quite well for about 20 years now. And Arne is always always easy to approach, always calm, intelligent, friendly, easygoing. I think Liverpool did a fine job to contact him. I think he He proved very clearly that he's a special manager. He speaks fluent English as well, so communication won't be a problem at all with the players at Liverpool. I've no doubts at all about his qualities, and nobody in Holland has. Every other club, especially at Ajax and PSV, even their fans, they were extremely jealous about the way Arne worked at Feyenoord. And he was always mentioned as the perfect Ajax coach because the way he plays with Feyenoord, that's the way Ajax wants to play. So he totally changed the hierarchy of Dutch football within a few years, which is very, very impressive because he didn't have the budget, he didn't have the top quality players, but he made a great team and he built a great team every year. So yeah, hope he will do good at Anfield, and I'm going to follow him closely, I think.
Yeah, Adam, I mean, something that comes out of that is this idea of communication. He usually speaks English and it seems like he communicates really well with his players. Now, David did allude to sort of Man United's Dutch experience of recent. They haven't been that great. And I guess one of the biggest criticisms sometimes of Ten Hag is that he's not able to communicate either with the press or, it seems, with the players. Do we sense something in Arne Slot here that actually the communication he brings to his teams allow them to execute really well?
Yeah, I mean, Erik ten Hag can speak English. It's just, I think at times maybe doesn't have the kind of the fluency that you would see from a Jurgen Klopp or a Jose Mourinho or some of the charisma, perhaps. I think Arne Slot's English, when he arrives into the country, will be is significantly higher than ten Hag's, to be honest, from my experience sat down with him. I think he conveys personality a little bit more easily. I think he's pretty comfortable in his own skin. He's also pretty open-minded. I think that was one of the things that really stood out. A lot of Feyenoord's recruitment was from markets that you would consider secondary or even tertiary for clubs competing in the Champions League. So, I mean, they take a young Mexican striker, Santi Jimenez, from Cruz Azul. He was signed for about 4 million euros, I think. He's now a 60 million euro striker. So you see there an openness to trust a recruitment department, but then also an ability to develop talent and, you know, develop the value of players. I think he's also been very, very open-minded with clubs' kind of sports science departments about how you go about improving players. There was a fullback at Feyenoord, I think he's called Marcus Pedersen, and Slot was getting into him every day. I want you to be more aggressive when you're coming up against your winger and you're defending. What eventually, between Slot and the sports science staff, they actually sent him for kickboxing lessons to improve his aggression, right? And some people hear that and think, like, that is just insane. What has that got to do with defending? But it was about developing, they said, it was about developing that mindset and mentality and that feeling of always being in that aggressive mindset when you're facing a defender that you would adopt within kickboxing. You know, the idea that you can take learnings from different sports. It's one of the things I think, you know, we're now seeing at Manchester United with Dave Brailsford, with a past record in cycling going in there. Even with Jimenez, the striker who I mentioned, they did a whole study on the way he runs, the approach he takes to running, and they altered the way that someone runs at the age of 22, 23 in the dressing room before matches. The scene is quite bizarre in final dressing rooms because you have some players who might be a winger or a set-piece taker watching videos of David Beckham crossing a ball on loop for 5 or 6 minutes, other players doing meditation, visualization, other players doing nothing at all. And that's because Slot is incredibly comfortable with whatever works for the individual before a high-pressure moment is necessary. Of course, there will be the team meetings and the tactical discussions and how do we move teams around and what's this team doing that we need to address and imposing our own style of play. But I think what we've seen from Jurgen Klopp over the years is this ability to man-manage that Slot has also been able to do at Feyenoord as well. So the question is whether he can elevate that man management to an atmosphere that is, you know, Feyenoord is an incredibly regionally intense environment. You know, the fans there are demanding. It's the kind of place where, you know, if you're not playing well, there'll be fans outside the training ground. But Liverpool is a way more global story. The level of scrutiny and social media and all of that kind of thing. I remember talking to him about how he felt about, you know, a young generation of players, because the squad he had at Feyenoord was really young, like a lot of players under the age of 23. And you will hear some older managers instinctively just go on about how much easier it was when they played. And Slot's argument is it's never been harder to actually be a professional footballer. One, because there's never been more people trying to be a professional footballer. Two, because the demands of the athlete now and the football calendar are so extreme. And look at every footballer, if they take their top off, it's basically the same body right now these days, the way that they're trained. And in addition to that, he also had a real sense of the pressures of social media, of players being in the dressing room after a game, checking what's being said about them. And he will need that more than ever if you go into one of these top clubs like Liverpool, like Manchester United, because, you know, the players, I think, really feel that.
Yeah, David, I mean, we're talking about Liverpool. I mean, if he's this guy, there will be other clubs looking at him.
Yeah, but I think Liverpool are at the forefront of his focus for the time being. There have been links around this situation to Barcelona, but Xavi's going to be staying until at least the summer of 2025. Bayern Munich, who of course are looking for a manager, and it does seem to be a good fit to them, but all reports indicate that maybe they're further ahead with somebody like Ralf Rangnick. There have been links to Roberto De Zerbi. I don't know how firm that is, but it hasn't been a strong rumour mill around Arne Slot. And so, firstly, Liverpool appear to be in a strong position in terms of their approach. But secondly, he seems to be keen on this opportunity. And so in that case, and it's Liverpool and the Premier League, and I'm sure the money would be right, it doesn't really matter if there are other projects, if he wants them and they want him. I was actually going to ask Adam, because I'm fascinated by the detail he's going into about this candidate. Unless Liverpool had this plan all along and none of us knew about it, why was someone seemingly such a good fit not more prominent from earlier on?
That's a very good question, right? And how often do we see in these managerial searches the kind of the fourth or fifth guy that comes along, or maybe in this case, second or third? We're told by the club he's the perfect candidate, the ideal candidate.
Postecoglou.
Postecoglou, right? How many managers did Spurs go through before they eventually got to someone who looks pretty good now he's there? I think everyone knew that Liverpool wanted Xabi Alonso, right? I don't think anyone's denying that that would have been something Liverpool would have loved to do. I think the Ruben Amorim one is slightly different. I think there was probably some interest, but maybe not as much interest as was perhaps conveyed in Portugal at certain times. With Arne Slot, like, I think this has come as a shock to Feyenoord. From conversations I've been having, I don't get the impression that Feyenoord 3-4 weeks ago were expecting to lose their manager to Liverpool. So it may just be that, you know, Liverpool have been working their way through a list of people, speaking to lots of different candidates. Or it may just be that actually before making Feyenoord aware of anything, you know, they wanted to have some conversations with Slot or his representatives, or just do all the necessary background checks before really formalising it. Because, you know, once you go public in the way that Liverpool, like, they've not gone public with a public statement, but I think it's been made pretty clear to journalists that Liverpool would like to take on a Slot. They've made an opening offer. That was around €9 million yesterday. That was, they were told that's not enough. And it's going to be interesting to see how far Feyenoord are able to push with this figure, right? Because I think we're still quite new to this world of managers being bought and sold, right? And in some ways, it makes total sense, given what we spend on players and sporting directors. You know, we now talk about like 12, 15 million for Dan Ashworth from Newcastle to Manchester United. So if Arne Slot has been so, so central, and his staff have been so, so central to what Feyenoord have been able to achieve over the last few years, then of course Feyenoord are going to be asking for a substantial amount of money. I think what's happened over the past sort of 18 months or so is opportunities have come along for Slot. So the first one was Leeds United. And this was when I think Jesse Marsh was on the ring. And you had Victor Orta, their sporting director, fly out to Holland. And he thought he was going to get him. And in the end, they were outflanked in the end by the Feyenoord chief executive, Dennis de Klerzer, who he's a really interesting guy, tough negotiator. The way it was described to me by someone who's negotiated against him was kind of, I love this guy because he smiles to your face, but behind the scenes, nothing's moving. That things are going the way you want them to go, but really they're sometimes going the way he wants them to go. And that's certainly what happened with Tottenham later in the summer. Before they got Postecoglou, Arne Slot was a top target. There was no release clause, much like there's not this summer. There would have been a release clause for this summer had Slot not extended his contract when he turned down Tottenham. So that would have been a 5 million euro release clause, but the extension he did didn't have a clause. So I think what you're going to see now is Slot probably make it clear to Feyenoord that he'd like this opportunity. I'd be very surprised if they stand in his way, but I think Liverpool probably have to get that number from maybe 9 million euros up to 12, 13, you would think. But that may go bigger if Liverpool start asking about members of backroom departments as well.
That's the other question, yeah. What happens to Pep Linders, for instance, who's currently at Liverpool? You know, it could be really interesting, David.
Yeah, I think every indication we've had is that Pep Linders is going to be pursuing his career elsewhere, although he does know Slot extremely well. And so perhaps that provides a little bit of insight from Liverpool's perspective, because, of course, Linders is still there and can provide his insight and maybe a bit of usefulness in transition. Adam, I'm actually quite fascinated by De Closer, because when I talk to people in the Netherlands, they say he's the best CEO by a mile in the Eredivisie, and that he will not make life easy, even if he's a nice guy for Liverpool. So perhaps they're trying to move quite carefully and delicately in this, and with the knowledge that there is pressure on Edwards and Hughes here to deliver. They seem to have overcome the perceived setback of losing Xabi Alonso, at least from a public PR perspective, relatively well. Suddenly Amorim was on the scene and Liverpool fans were excited, and now it's Slot and there's been a lot of positive coverage around him. But this is a massive moment for them. They're new into these roles. They don't officially start in the summer, and they're charged with one of the biggest moments in Liverpool's modern history, replacing Jurgen Klopp, keeping Liverpool competitive and successful, meeting the expectations of really passionate, massive fan base and expectant ownership as well. It's not an easy task. And however, their builders being at the forefront of the industry and really highly rated, and in some cases, sort of Edwards' builders, this sort of leading figure in his realm, they simply have to deliver here.
Yeah. And what we've not really seen is Edwards really thrive when Klopp's not there. I think with some of these sporting directors, you know, someone like Chicky Begiristain, Michael Edwards, you know, it's very hard to tell sometimes how much of their success is about how good they are and how good is just the head coach at the time. Because often these whole things tend to fall apart a little bit when the head coach changes. At the same time, you know, Liverpool had a very good record on recruitment, both buying and selling when Edwards was there the last time. He's clearly been really highly empowered. Actually, interestingly, I think Andoni Iraola, who was appointed by Richard Hughes at Bournemouth, he, I think, was actually on Feyenoord's list to potentially replace Slot if you go back sort of 18 months ago as well, if he was to leave the club. So Feyenoord themselves will be already amongst the market looking at how do we go and replace our guy as well. That's the way this whole chain works. I think there is pressure on Richard Hughes. You know, Michael Edwards kind of has the credit in the bank from Liverpool fans for what he's done there previously. Richard Hughes is newer. You know, I think Feyenoord know now that Liverpool have basically made it pretty clear to the world that they want this guy, that probably does raise the price a little bit, particularly if you're doing that or you've actually formally approached Feyenoord to discuss terms, right? And I think that does create a bit of pressure. Equally, it may be a case that because of the lack of the release clause, Liverpool felt as though they almost had to create this situation where it feels like an inevitability that Slot is going to leave the club. And it'll be interesting to see as well the extent to which Slot himself agitates, because that's something that could bring the price down, right? If he turns around and says, look, you know, I've been here with you for 2-3 years. We've had all this success together. I stayed last time, but I don't, you know, Feyenoord aren't winning the league this year. PSV have had this extraordinary season in the Dutch league. So all it would probably take for Slot is maybe one middling season next year, and these opportunities don't come around again. So I think this is a deal that everyone kind of expects to happen, but there might be a bit of pain getting to the finishing line.
This is the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalera.
get the view from Liverpool. Here's The Athletic's Liverpool writer, James Pearce, talking on our dedicated Liverpool podcast, Walk On, about how the news has been received on Merseyside.
The more I've read about Slot and the more I've spoken to people about Slot, and had a chat yesterday with Dirk Kuyt, who obviously knows him well, having, you know, he's a Feyenoord legend, Kuyt, and he spent a week shadowing Slot last year at their training ground. And again, you know, he only had positive things to say. And when you look at the criteria Liverpool were assessing, you know, in terms of a playing style that's not too far removed from the current one, because, you know, it has to be a style that suits the current crop of players. And, you know, you talk, you know, people keep saying, you know, this attacking brand of football that Slot plays, and, you know, the pressing game, the high defensive line, how he's developed young players, you know, doing it on a relatively modest budget, certainly compared to the likes of PSV and Ajax domestically, and also his communication skills and, you know, his fluent English. He conducts all his meetings at Feyenoord in English. One of the biggest things as well was going to be Liverpool had to find someone who had the personality to really embrace following in Klopp's footsteps. The last thing you needed is someone who, you know, almost felt like it was almost, you know, be daunted by the challenge. You've got to think, well, why can't I go in there and build on what Klopp has achieved and create my own slice of history?
Yeah, I mean, David, you know, Jamie Carragher was saying on Sky that, you know, fans need to see a manager with personality. Is this the guy? Does he have a big enough personality, something that can both unite fans and the board? You know, the usuals we've been talking about.
The available options, he strikes me as having good charisma, gravitas, the type of guy who can carry the weight of a big club on his shoulders. We won't really know the full extent of that until he's in and has been tested like never before in his career. But when you look around the other names that were being talked about, certainly Alonso felt that he could, even though he's still at the embryonic stage of his managerial career, less experienced than Slot. The others, you would have had some concerns about. You saw names coming from all manner of angles. There were reports about Gary O'Neill. I don't think that was ever the case. And I also hope and think he'll have a really good career. But at this point, somebody like that coming into Liverpool Football Club didn't feel quite right. There were some suggestions that Richard Hughes may turn back to Bournemouth, and Iraola, who's doing a brilliant job down there. But I don't know if that felt quite right in terms of he's been in England for a very short time, and the step up to somebody like Liverpool where language, he speaks good English, but is he able to engage with the fans in the way that Liverpool really want them to and will need them to post Klopp? And then there were some names that I'm sure they will have been looking at in the wider spectrum because they would have performed well on their data models. Someone like a Michel at Girona, I heard, was highly viewed, but his English is extremely limited. And it just didn't feel like somebody like him would be the right fit. So when you think to Slot, this is not really scientific. This is just sort of feel and notional. Yeah, I think it would be one that, despite a little bit of skepticism that's come out in the Liverpool fan base, a lot of people don't know who he is. They don't know what he's done. They think it's perhaps a bit underwhelming compared to the aura around an Amorim who, whether it be his work, which is really impressive, whether it be a bit of the PR, as fans and members of the public and the industry, often we just get this into our heads. We like the narrative. It's thrilling. It's exciting. And then suddenly it's a guy from Holland and there's a bit of like, oh, a little bit deflated. But I would be really optimistic if I was a Liverpool fan. There's something about him that makes him feel more appropriate than many of the names that had been swirling around. And I just don't think they would have gone down this route unless they were utterly convinced about that. And we won't know until we're further down the line. But the early indications and reading up on him and speaking to people about him and listening to somebody like Adam explaining from first-hand experience, right now, at the stage of the process they're on, I don't think there have been that many better options rising to the fore.
I think as well, you know, when we talk about like the fire of a Liverpool manager, well, there's not much more fire than the rivalry between Ajax and Feyenoord. Feyenoord hasn't won at Ajax since 2005 when Slot took over. And that mental block was so severe that he actually hired an English psychologist to come in and work with a sports psychologist, to come in, work with the team, work on visualization, what it would be like to win there. Since Slot's been there, they've now won there the last two times, won 3-2 and 4-0 at their fiercest rivals. The last time they won at Ajax, the game was basically shut down because the Ajax fans were going so mad about it. And then when Feyenoord played Ajax a few weeks ago, they won 6-0 at home. So I think he's someone who clearly appreciates rivalries and passion and connection to a local fan base. So I think it's probably an unfair stick at this stage. You know, maybe it'll be proven differently, you know, to say he's not somebody that could understand those aspects of the job. I think maybe the fairer question marks are just, you know, a couple of things that have been raised to me. One is that he's never really had a period of his career where things have gone wrong. So how would he come to terms with that? How would he cope with those challenges? You know, if Liverpool were to go on a run of, you know, 7, 8, 9 games where they're barely winning, how would he cope with that pressure? And then the other thing is just in the Dutch league, you know, as Erik ten Hag's found out, right, it's a really easy, lazy argument to make, but you're not coming up against the quality of opposition every week that you are doing in the Premier League, right? Teams like Bournemouth and Fulham and Everton and West Ham will cause you problems of very different kinds all the time, you know? So I think as a result of that, those are I think the fair questions that at this stage can be painted against it.
There's more to life and to football than only winning a prize. It's also the way you work, the way you can work. That's what I mean a little bit with cherish what you have.
Beyond football, do we get a sense of the man himself, you know, his connection to family and things like that? You know, who is he in that respect?
Yeah, look, I think one of the reasons he stayed at Feyenoord when Tottenham came calling last year was that he'd clearly developed connections within the club he was at. His family were pretty settled at the time as well. He didn't at the time see a kind of a greener way over the road, you know, at Spurs. And I think it's had to take something incredibly special for him to actually decide now is the time to go and do it. You know, he even said in that interview that something along the lines of, if you just go somewhere for a year or two, then what impact do you really leave on the people you're with, the community you make? But I think he is someone who, like Klopp, would, you know, is ambitious. You know, Klopp eventually left Dortmund and he left Mainz. But I think everywhere he goes, he wants to be able to leave a stamp and a legacy and be able to say, look at what we created, right? And not even, you know, okay, they won the league last year, this year they've won a cup. But to be able to say, you know, over a body of time, we have developed an identity, a style of play, a connection with the fan base, and a few trophies along the way. And that's basically what Liverpool want.
Sounds good. And I'm sure many Liverpool fans will be hoping it can work magic on Darwin Nunez as well. Anyway, let's leave it there. David, Adam, thanks so much for your time. And also don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, Adam and the team are back tomorrow for Weekend Preview.
You've been listening to the Athletic FC podcast. The producers were Guy Clark, Mike Stavrou and Jay Beale. The executive producer was Amy Moorhead. To listen to other great Athletic podcasts for free, search for The Athletic on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places. The Athletic FC podcast is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.